Leonard Skinner, Free Bird, Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis, thank you for joining us tonight or this morning. You're listening again to Coast to Coast AM. We're having a good time here. Thank you again, Dr. John McDougall. We were just laughing about the side effects that he spoke about. And if you missed it, well, then check up online on Coast to Coast AM and look up Coast Insider, become a Coast Insider, and you'll hear the side effects of the healthiest diet on the planet. And I never thought I'd talk about that on Coast to Coast. Coming up, Lori Williams, a lady from my past. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for tonight, Connie Willis. Our next guest is Lori Williams, and a lot of times I don't really read off people's bio. I kind of let them do it, or I kind of give a little piece here and there, but I kind of want to do it on this one. She's a professional controlled remote viewer. And there's a difference between remote viewer and controlled remote viewer. She's an experienced instructor of CRV. That's what we like to call it. And I say that because I'm an advanced controlled remote viewer, certified, advanced certified. She's also a certified hypnotherapist. She's been researching, practicing, studying the science of CRV for like over 20 years now. Highly respected among the students and peers in the field of remote viewing. No question about that. I can vote that way as well. She's considered by many to be one of the best remote viewing instructors available today. I would say that too. I can say that. And currently is the only certified instructor teaching beyond the advanced levels of CRV. Also, as a professional remote viewer, she's worked with many individuals and companies in several countries. She's a public speaker, presenter, many workshops on remote viewing. And she's also worked with law enforcement on missing persons cases, conducting professional sessions for corporations, working on archaeological mysteries, and she's got a wide range of experience in esoteric subjects, and that's something that a lot of us in remote viewing were really into, you know. But you have to have a lot of data behind you before you can figure out if those esoteric targets might be of value. So she was my first ever remote viewing teacher, controlled remote viewing. I should always say that. Once you're in it, you can kind of say RV, but outside of it, you really should say controlled remote viewing because there's a difference. And I got to tell you, you know, everybody wants to do it. Everybody wants to take classes, but until you take it, you really don't know what it's about. You really don't have an understanding of it. It isn't being like, you know, psychic. There's a whole list of things you have to do. You have to have paper and pencil, and you start there. And there's methods to this, and there's tools for this. And it's not this easy thing that, you know, you think it's just going to happen. However, it's not hard. Don't make it hard. It's just there is a pattern. There's a method to it. And it's amazing because the second that you realize that it happens, your life has changed. Your whole perspective has changed, and you'll never think the same way again. And you'll also know that everybody has this ability, and everybody can do it. And though they can teach it fairly quickly, it takes a lot of time to really mature and be really good, and that's why they call it a martial art. So anyway, without any more ado there, let's go ahead and bring on the amazing Lori Williams, everybody. Yeah. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, considering that it's the middle of the night.
Where are you right now? What part of the country are you in?
I am in Taos, New Mexico. I'm right outside of Taos, New Mexico, and I am at the Earthship Academy at the Earthship Worldwide Headquarters right outside of Taos, New Mexico.
And tell everybody briefly what that is. And that's another show, by the way, but let them know what that is because that's pretty cool. That's unique. Our listeners will love that.
Well, it's my husband and I were coming back from our anniversary, and we were coming back from Pagosa Springs, Colorado, driving down the highway, coming towards Taos, and we suddenly saw these really strange structures off the side of the highway, and we were like, what are those? And he was like, you want me to turn around? I was like, yeah, turn around. So he turned around, And we went and we saw a sign that said Visitors Center, and we walked into this place and we learned all about earthships. And earthships are self-sustaining buildings that people can live in, that provide everything you need and actually contribute to the earth instead of damaging the earth like so many structures that are being built nowadays. They provide you with all the food you need, all the water you need. They handle all your sewage right there. And you can grow plants and edible foods right inside the earthship. So they are off-grid completely. So we thought that was pretty neat, and we were really fascinated to learn more about it. And so I'm actually here for a month learning about earthships.
That is really cool. I mean, that is really cool, and you're going to be there a month. I know a lot of people like me, you know, we go and see you for a weekend or a week or whatever to learn from you, and here you are saying goodbye to everybody, saying, get off my back. I'm going off the grid for a month, and you're learning to live in an earthship. And does it teach you how to work with the earthship, with all the plants and everything, or does it teach you, to put it together and stuff?
Everything from the ground up, how to build them, and the cool thing is they use garbage. They use, what is there more of than there are trees on earth? Tires. They actually use tires as bricks. They fill them with earth, and they use them to create thermal mass, which retains heat and provides warmth in the winter, and also provides cool temperatures in the summer, so that you can live in a beautiful building that stays at about 73 degrees all year round, even when it's 30 below zero outside or when it's 105 degrees outside.
So that's really cool.
Fascinating.
That's another show. Exactly. I think that is really neat. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about controlled remote viewing and some other techniques and methods. However, it's not going to be the regular 101. What Lori's going to do is, she and I talked about this beforehand, but we didn't talk about everything because I like everything to be fresh. So I didn't let her tell me about all the amazing new things they have found out with the last targets they did. However, what we want to do is want her to tell you what all the different techniques are and what they mean. And then we want to go into a special thing that she did recently, an event that she did recently that went really, really, really deep and got some really, really cool answers to a lot of questions that some of us have about some esoteric targets. So I'm going to let her tell you what CRV is, ERV is, RV, the difference of that, and psychics, and also maybe even if you want to throw in ARV, and then also let people know what esoteric is. And once she gives you that basic background of that, you know, because you can go for hours and be and talk about that, but if she can get to the basic part of that, then we can move on and find out about, like, you know, what's on the dark side of the moon and what they found out on Mars and the missing squadron of the four torpedo bombers, you know, with the Bermuda Triangle. So that's where we're going to. So, okay, Lori, CRV.
Okay, for your listeners who are unfamiliar with what controlled remote viewing is, first, just to really give you a quick synopsis, back during the Cold War, the U.S. government discovered that some of the Russians were getting some of our deepest secrets, military secrets. They had no way of knowing how they were getting them until this man defected from Russia, and he had documents showing that essentially Russia had a psychic spying program. And I think that probably the people who looked at that went, oh, that's crazy, but if they have it, we have to have it too. So they went to the physicists at Stanford Research Institute in Palo Alto, California, and they said, hey, Russia's got this, we need it too. Make something, come up with something, find a way to do it. And these geniuses also started working with a man named Ingo Swann, another genius and artist, who had worked some with Princeton University's programs. And what they came up with was a set of written protocols that help you to separate imagination, for example, from true intuitive information. Everybody has intuitive information. Everybody's had an experience at least once in their lives where maybe you knew somebody was going to call you, or you just knew you shouldn't do a certain thing, or you knew you should do something. And we'd all love to be able to control that. You know, you think, gosh, if I could control that, how would that change my life? How would that change my relationships? how would that change my business? You know, and so maybe even my finances, you know. So people think about these things, but they don't have a way to control them. And so what controlled remote viewing is, it's kind of like that drawer organizer that you run out to the hardware store to buy, because everybody has that drawer that has the rubber bands and the paper clips and the toothpicks in it. And so it's, think of CRV as a drawer organizer for your brain, for your mind, a way to organize all those thoughts. And so when the U.S. government came up with this set of protocols, or Stanford came up with it and gave it to the U.S. military, then they were able to militarize it in a way to make it uniform so that they could teach it to anyone. They could pull a grunt off the front lines if they wanted to and teach it to anyone. So this is really a great tool because it helped everybody be able to get information about anything in all of time or space. And it's really built on the premise that we are connected to kind of like a big giant cosmic database in the sky. We're all connected. We are connected to everything that ever is or ever was or ever will be. And all we have to do is tap into it. But the problem is the conscious and subconscious minds don't really speak the same language. So
they don't.
Through the body. They don't. That's right. Why, you know, sometimes have you ever been upset about something and you didn't even know why you were upset, or you had like a nervous stomach and you knew you were nervous but you weren't sure why? Sometimes we're just not connected to what's going on in the subconscious mind, you know, and our body's reacting, but we don't even really consciously understand what's going on.
That darn ego, right? It just gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. So that's what CRV is designed to do. It's designed to kind of open that door to the subconscious and create a language so that we can actually begin a dialogue between conscious and subconscious, and then ask the subconscious, hey, we call it actually an interview and report methodology, so that the conscious mind is interviewing the subconscious and getting information about whatever the target, we use the word target to whatever the objective happens to be. So if, for example, the police need a description of the kidnapper's car, that would be the target in this case, and then that would be the viewer's job. But what we do is we keep the viewer blind to whatever it is that they're viewing. So if you were going to, like if I were to say to you, Connie, tell me the color of the kidnapper's car, well, instantly you're thinking, oh my God, there was a kidnapping? You know, and you're going
right.
to start panicking and your imagination's going to go crazy. So we find that the easiest thing is for the remote viewers to not know anything at all. And I, as a remote viewer, it's so much easier when you don't know anything. Then you don't have all your imagination going wild. I mean, your imagination sometimes goes wild anyway, but the great thing is that you don't have to be front-loaded with all this information that's so full of pollution.
It's true. And the best of the best remote viewers, by the way, are the ones that can still get the answer, even though somebody has bombarded them with all this information, because you don't want the information. It just makes it harder, like she said. So if you get a ton of information, it makes it harder. So the better remote viewers are the ones that can get through all that.
That's so true. And what we do is, as viewers get more and more experienced and learn more and more, we actually start like having them get a little polluted, because in real life, you're going to get polluted. You know, you're going to have somebody run in and say, oh my gosh, my cat Fufu's missing and I need to find her, you know, and they're going to run in and tell you that before you even have a chance to stop them. So in real life, you get polluted, and so I always tell my viewers that the best viewers are the ones who are versatile and resilient and who can handle a little pollution and still be able to get past that. But in the beginning, it's really hard to get past that. I remember as a brand-new viewer, I would always tell my mentor, Lynn Buchanan, I'd say, please don't tell me anything, because if you say the target's an event, I immediately think it's Princess Di's wedding.
if you tell me it's an activity,
I immediately think it's got to be a basketball game. So
everybody will know too, like, okay, if someone does say, my cat Fufu is missing, I need help finding her, Lori's saying that if you don't know anything, you can just ask one question and all of a sudden out of nowhere you're going to get an answer that, oh, I see a cat and it's over in the barn, then you can start seeing what structure that cat might be in.
Exactly. And our mantra, if you want to use the word mantra, is describe, don't identify. Because if I have a picture in an envelope and I say, describe what you think might be in this envelope, and you tell me that it's red, smooth, and shiny, and then you say, I bet it's an apple, and then we pull the picture out and it's actually a fire engine, you were okay up until you came up with a noun, until you tried to name it. And that example actually came from Lynn Buchanan, and is in his wonderful book, right. The Seventh Sense.
Yeah.
If nobody's ever read that book, that's a fabulous book. But anyway, the thing about that is that we tend to, our right brain thinks in descriptors, our left brain wants to name everything. And that's kept us alive as a species, right? The ability to identify threats. But when it comes to remote viewing, it really leads us astray, that tendency to want to name everything, label everything, jump to conclusions. So the goal here is to stick to description. So when Fufu's missing, maybe the one piece of information that I would give you as a remote viewer would be the target is a location. Describe the target. So you're just describing a location. And I happen to have written on a piece of paper in an envelope or in a folder or something that says, describe the location of the missing cat Fufu. And so it's written there. It's there established. That's what the target is. We might even put a number on there, like 158341. So I would say, okay, your target is 158341. The target is a location. Describe the target. And then you would jump in and start describing whatever's coming to you, colors, textures, temperatures, smells, sounds, tastes. You just start describing stuff.
And they do come to you. They do come to you.
They do. They just flow if you let them. The thing that happens with a lot of new people is they're afraid of making a mistake, and so they kind of hold back, you know. And so,
we think you all are nuts because y'all believe everything we say. We go black, purple, pink, and y'all are like, yep, 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 write it down, write it down. We're like, no, this is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I spent how much to tell me that the colors are all okay and they're all good? It's crazy, yeah.
So that's the way that it goes. The more you let it flow and you don't worry about whether you're wrong or right, the better it goes. You know, it just flows. So,
and you are amazed that when you start getting the answers. So control remote viewing, RV, ERV, ARV.
Okay, well, extended remote viewing is a technique that they actually developed in the military unit where they would actually have a monitor. They would call them a monitor or an interviewer, but really this person had to be a gifted hypnotist. As a hypnotherapist, I can tell you this had to be a gifted hypnotist who would actually get the viewer into a hypnagogic state and then take the viewer up and down through various levels of consciousness, all the while interviewing them about whatever the target was and recording the answers, of course. And so in an extended remote viewing state, in a hypnagogic state, viewers are able to perhaps see street signs and names, numbers, things like that, things that are not as easy to get in while doing controlled remote viewing where you're sitting at a table, eyes open, piece of paper in front of you, and a pen. So extended remote viewing is different from CRV in that you would actually be lying down, eyes closed, you won't be writing anything, you're in essentially a trance state. And so extended remote viewing is a whole different ball of wax.
And I think I remember Lynn saying you can really get the best of the best info from that. So I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more with Lori on the background of remote viewing so that you have the best of the best ideas so that we can move in to find out what she found out. I'm excited about this. I hope you are too. I'm Connie Willis, and you're listening to Coast AM with Lori Williams of Intuitive Specialist and Remote Viewing. Some really cool secrets are going to be uncovered here on Coast AM. Stay with us. Teacher, leave those kids alone. Oh, I remembered that. The Wall, Pink Floyd, Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM. Really good music tonight. Thank you very much. Great guest as well, and great listeners too. Thank all of you guys for being here. Really appreciate that. Very happy to be here myself. Have you ever met George Norrie? Would you like to? Go to coasttocoastam.com and check it out, where he's going to be. He's been going to a lot of things this year. Coming up in a couple weeks, he's going to be at the Lee Harvey Oswald Conference. That's in New Orleans. And wow, that sounds very interesting. Oh, I don't know, man. That'd be intense, wouldn't it? And then the other one that's going to be in this month is going to be at the Alien Con. That's in Santa Clara, California. We're going to have more details coming up for you, but that's where you want to go to our website. You're going to see where he's going to be. He might even sing a few bars for you because he's a singer too. I got to hear him sing. I'm looking forward to that. If you want more information, again, go to our website. And more to talk about here coming up with deep remote viewing with Lori Williams and myself here on Coast to Coast AM. It's another great show here on Coast to Coast AM, the real theater of the mind. Connie Willis, along with Lori Williams of Intuitive Specialists, my very first controlled remote viewing teacher, and she was incredible, absolutely incredible. Then after that was Lynn Buchanan, one of the actual Project Stargate guys. And Lori right now is telling us about CRV, what it's all about, what it is, and she was just talking about ERV, which is extended RV, and I think you might have finished that up, or if you'd like to say more about that, Lori, go ahead.
No, yeah, I finished that up, and then we were going to talk about associative remote viewing, which a lot of people like because that's the one that supposedly can help people make a lot of money.
Money. That's right, yeah. And, well, I did it with, oh my gosh, my little guy, Marty. Marty's like the biggest ARV guy, at least that I know. And I met him in Vegas and took his one day class and hey, we made some money down there on the wheel.
We made some money down there as well in Vegas with Marty, and I worked with Marty for a couple of years back in the late '90s. ARV is a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun to do. And the cool thing about ARV is what you're doing is you're associating something really easy to remote view with something that's hard to get, like numbers and letters and things like that. So you can bet on sports teams, or you can actually use it for some really practical things too. So essentially you're associating something. So like let's say we wanted to associate the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 with flavors, like vanilla, strawberry, garlic, vinegar. You know, you could associate each one of those with a number, and then I could say to you, hey, Connie, move to tonight at 7 o'clock and tell me what you taste, and that I would be setting that up based on a certain target that we had already pre-established. Like, let's say we were going to buy a pick three ticket, and they were going to pick the numbers of the balls of the pick three lottery ticket tonight at 6:30 or something. Then I could have three different people that I was going to ask. And let's say you were going to represent the first ball, and John is going to represent the second ball, and Mary's going to represent the third ball. Then I ask each one of you, move to tonight at 7 o'clock and tell me what you taste. And then, you know, you tell me, oh, you know, I'm going to taste blah, blah, blah. I think I'm tasting blah, blah, blah. And you tell me that, and then I see which taste corresponds to the numbers, and we buy the ticket. That's a really fast and very confusing explanation of associative remote viewing. And that's only one type. There's a million different ways to do associative remote viewing. But since this particular show isn't talking about that, we're not going to get into it really deeply. But suffice it to say that associative remote viewing is just a kind of a quick and dirty way of remote viewing to get to come up with numbers or letters or outcomes on things, so that you can use it for stock market choices, you can use it for lottery, you can also use it for making life choices if you wanted to try to choose between several jobs that have been offered to you or things like that. You can use it, and the body is always the mechanism that we usually use to do associative remote viewing.
I remember when, I guess it was probably more with when I was under Lynn Buchanan with the medium, I guess the intermediate and advanced classes with him. Like back in the day, Lori would teach the basic, and then Lynn would teach the other ones. And now she's really surpassed all that kind of stuff. It's been a while since I've done this, but I remember Lynn speaking of, you know, because you learn these different methods and you learn the different stages. And I remember him talking about how hard it is to read like you can get into a vault, you know, that's deep underwater, undercover, whatever. I mean, furthest away from anywhere you would ever imagine. You can get there to the vault, but to read the papers that are inside the vault is a whole nother thing. I mean, it's probably easy to get to the vault and inside of it, you know, past the guards and past the bazillions of miles of water and earth core, whatever. But reading them is a whole different thing, because it's almost like your mind kind of, it's almost like when you're in a dream and you see a newspaper and you go and you try to read the headline on that newspaper, you usually wake up from the dream. So is that, did I talk about that correctly, where that's maybe where some other method may help if you're trying to read those secret, top secret papers inside a vault, if you're on, you know, if you're one of these military guys?
Exactly. It's very difficult to just come up with specific names or letters or numbers or things like that when you're just doing general remote viewing. And so associative remote viewing can help come up with letters and numbers, and extended remote viewing can also do that. So what's really great is if you look at each one of these things as tools, then you just grab the tool. It's kind of like when you need a hammer, you don't grab a screwdriver, you know? So you grab the right tool for the right job. And they're all just tools to get information.
Yeah, and when you guys do want to start taking classes, because I get so many people ask me about classes. When you take classes, the reason why there's, you know, a basic and then an intermediate, then an advanced, then med apps, and then the pro tool, right, pro tools, and they continue to tack on things because you learn it as you go. And again, it is a martial art and is absolutely a blast to do. Your life will change. And because Lori was my basic teacher, and for a lot of people she was, she saw, her and her husband both, we talked about it even the weekend I was there, you guys get to see people when they very first get the aha moment of, oh my gosh, I just saw something. Like one of my first ones was in Finland. I was outside of this like church in Finland and a field, and there were people there, and it was like in the 30s, I think, or the 1700s or something like that. And when I saw the picture that I was to remote view, I knew exactly where I stood in that picture. I felt the coldness of the snow. I felt I was in the shade. I knew I was in the shade. I was next to a fence. I could tell you what the fence looked like. When I saw the picture, I knew where I stood. It's the most amazing thing in the world to feel that, where you get that breakthrough. And I know you said it was unbelievable to watch it as well.
It's so much fun. I used to ask my husband how he could handle, my sweet, wonderful husband, Jim. I used to ask him, how can you handle having the students in the house so many weekends and listening to the same class over and over again? Because for the longest time, I taught basic for like 5 years before I branched out to teaching more. I've been teaching since 2001. And thanks to Lynn Buchanan's generosity, because I've apprenticed with him for many years. I started studying with him in, I think, 96 or 97. And then
can't do better than that.
He turned all the basic over to me in 2001, and I taught basic for a long time while he taught intermediate and advanced and post-advanced classes. And then when he retired, I think it was actually a little before he retired, I think in 2011, I started just teaching everything. The thing is that my husband said, I never get tired of seeing people. When they leave this house after 3 days, they're walking 5 feet above the ground because they are so astounded at what they found that they could do. And it's so exciting to see that. It's exciting for them, and it's exciting for us. And the man that took the course with you, Connie, a doctor, a hematological oncologist, an amazing man, and he later wrote me and said, this was the most amazing weekend of my life.
Yeah.
The weekend that he spent with you and I learning remote viewing.
Yeah. And, it wasn't so, because he spent it with us. It was about the remote viewing stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
He was a great guy.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Darn it. I thought it was us. He was so intelligent. I mean, he was unbelievably intelligent.
He really was, and it totally floored him. And the thing that I think gets underestimated a lot, or maybe not played up as much as I would love for it to, is how much learning this, not only does it really amaze you that, oh my gosh, I can see anything in all of time and space, but the things you learn about yourself throughout the learning process. You learn so much, and that particular man had such an experience that weekend of discovering some things about himself.
Yes.
Really deep. You know, I know you remember that.
And
it was very personal, but so I won't go into it on air, but it was something that was so profound that came from, you know, way back in his past. And he overcame some major, major obstacles that had been blocking him just from the whole experience that he had with remote viewing.
Yeah, and you know, it's those strongholds in life. I mean, once you get through those, I mean, the tears come out and you can move forward. And, you know, it's like, well, Ingo Swann had believed that, you know, we have been dummied down. And the remote viewing, of course, can wake yourself up to a lot of these things. And, you know, you would talk about we were being dummied down. And when you do learn to remote view, and you see what you've been missing, and you see what you can do, and you wonder why this has been suppressed. I mean, I agree with a lot of the things he said as well. And he, of course, is what everybody calls the father of remote viewing. And I wish I would have got to interview him, you know, on Coast to Coast. That would have been amazing. Yeah. Well, before getting into the esoteric part of it, with remote viewing, time doesn't matter. You can go into the future, into the past, in the present, and find out anything you want. And what I found interesting before Lynn said this, and you know, you've done this so much and you're so great at it. He would say things like you can go not just forward and backward, but you could go to the left, to the right, in parallel, you know, and all this other stuff. What do you say to that? What does that mean?
Well, I think that time is really not linear like so many people think of it. Now, Lynn and I differ a little bit in how we view time. So I'll say that right up front.
Oh, excellent. But okay.
I personally think that time is happening all the time. It's a construct. It's a man-made idea, time is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And that I think that actually all phases of time are occurring all at once, which is why we can remote view them. And when we remote view them, we experience them as now. It's not like I'm going to go 100 years in the past and see what was happening back then. I'm experiencing it as now when I'm seeing it. And Lynn also agrees with that. I mean, that we're in total agreement on that. It's all happening as now. And Lynn has a fabulous article in the 8 Martinis magazine, which you can download free online at 8martinis.com, I think. But anyway, it's a wonderful article on time, and he talks about Einstein and different things, and it's fabulous. And he talks about moving sideways in time, and it makes a lot of sense. But I've also been studying some physicists who are also talking about time and their relationship in discussing what time is also seems to correlate very much with what I'm experiencing as a remote viewer and what I'm seeing as an instructor with advanced students moving through time. It seems to me that time is occurring all at once, and so we can actually visit different periods in time because they're actually now. Does that make sense? So I can go back to 1816, for example, because 1816 is actually occurring right now. It's almost like I heard a great example of someone going along a winding river in a boat, and as they come around a bend in the river, they know that the village they just passed that is no longer in sight is still there, and everything's still going on in that village, even though it's just around the bend. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's the time loops that gets crazy.
Yeah, that's true. And that's something we call them CRV time loops. And that's something that really, whenever that comes up in class, which usually it comes up like the first or second day of the basic class, it leaves people just flabbergasted. So I'm going to give you an example. My very first day of my very first basic class that I ever took, I had never thought about time. I mean, time was just, you know, I just didn't think about it, except that I'm always late, you know. that was about the extent of my thought about time. And so this was a class with like 12 people in it, and there was a sheriff in the class. And Lynn had an envelope, and he held it up, and he said, anybody want to just take a guess of what might be in this envelope? And so this sheriff raised his hand, and he said, I think there's probably flowers and mountains and trees and sky. And so Lynn said, okay, open the envelope. And he opened it, and it was a photograph of the inside of a factory, you know, just machines. It was 100% man-made. And I don't remember exactly what Lynn did at that point, but a few minutes later, Lynn turned around, and the guy was holding the photograph of the factory up to the light. And Lynn said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm trying to see what's glued down on the paper, because it was cut out from a magazine, so it was a two-sided picture, and part of it was glued onto the paper. And Lynn said, what is on the other side of the paper? And he said, flowers and trees and skies. All the things that he had said, right? And so Lynn said, well, you just ruined your session. And everybody in the room just grew silent. You could hear a pin drop. We were like, what does he mean? He just ruined his session. He said, you just ruined your session. And we all thought, what does he mean by that? Well, he said, well, at the point in time, let's draw a line on a piece of paper. And at this beginning, on the left side of the line, this is the point in time where he made his guess, and he said flowers and trees and things like that. And then in the middle of the line, let's say 5 minutes later, he looks at the picture, and it's the picture of the factory. That's his feedback. We call that feedback, right? And then a few minutes later, he holds it up to light, and he sees the flowers and the trees and things like that. And that is actually the point of time which his subconscious mind jumped to. It jumps forward to look, to take a peek, and give you that information back through time, creating a loop, moving forward and then feeding it back to you at the moment where you're sitting there trying to figure out what's in the envelope, right? Mm-hmm. So that's called a loop. It's called a time loop. And that happens. So he actually gave himself two feedbacks by looking at the factory picture and then looking at what it was on the other side. He gave himself two feedbacks, so the subconscious mind had the choice. Do I want to look at the factory? Do I want to look at this other thing? I'm going to talk about the flowers and the trees because they're so much nicer than the factory.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can run into what we call displacement pretty easily, because the subconscious mind has the ability to choose what it wants to look at. I had a student who called me once, and he said, okay, Lori, I was working on a target on Monday, and I kept thinking that the target was the gargoyles on St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. And then I pulled the feedback picture out and it had nothing to do with that. Then on Wednesday, I'm doing a session, and I pull the picture out and it's the gargoyles on St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. So on Monday, I was actually viewing Wednesday's target. He said, so what happened? Why did that happen? And I said, well, that happened because the subconscious mind, it's like time doesn't matter to it. So if it's undisciplined, like a child that's undisciplined, it's just going to do what it wants. So the way we react to that is we just don't react, because emotions are a reward to the subconscious. So instead of getting, oh, darn, why did that happen? Or going, oh, cool, I viewed that on Monday. I'm going to run down and see what I wrote on Monday's session and compare it to Wednesday's session. Then you're rewarding the subconscious for behaving that way. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. And that's where, you know, the martial art part of it comes in. And that's where you got to learn and be disciplined. And that's why it's great to take these classes, especially control remote viewing. That way you can discipline yourself and get the right answers. So stay with us next hour. What we're going to do is we're going to go deep, deep, deep into some top viewers' minds and see what they found out about the Ken Ross incident, Mars, what's on the dark side of the moon, and a few other things. Okay, we're going to see what they found out. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM.